This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's James Kell from the Sleeper King Football Podcast. In fantasy football, sleepers can win you championships, and that's why I am here. Every episode is just 15 to 20 minutes long, every Tuesday through Friday. Subscribe to the Sleeper King Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods.
Everybody put your hand up right here, man. That's one, two, three, four, five in a row. Division titles, man.
Five in a row.
And 7 out of 8 years in the playoffs, man, right? 7 out of 8 years, I'm going to tell you what, man. Cherish these moments because it doesn't happen every year. It doesn't happen everywhere. And cherish each other. Look to the man on your left. Tell me you love him, man. Tell me you love him, huh? It is about the journey and the moments, man. I promise you. I'm 50 years old, man. Right? I know. Oh. But you gotta savor the moment. You really do, because it goes by fast. Savor the relationships. Man, this is, you'll remember this the rest of your lives, man. Right here, in the snow, at home, in the honor of Coach Levy. What does he say? When it's too tough for them, it's just right for us, right? And what else? Where else would you rather be than what?
Right here, right now.
Bills head coach Sean McDermott, post-game victory speech that I feel like applies not just to Bills players in the locker room, but fans. Like, tell the people next to you, you'll love them. This doesn't happen all the time. Look at what we've got here. Look at what this is. It is Victory Monday. Jeremy and Joe with you. Buffalo Bills Football Monday brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. Sal Capaccio joining us on the Wester Hotline. He was on the sidelines for that magical night, Sal. Another one that, whatever, put it on the short list. But the short list is getting to be a long list, Sal. We've got a lot of games where it's just unforgettable experiences to be there, to watch it, to see it, to experience it. And, you know, if you're a Bills fan, I mean, what can you say? What do you say, Sal? It's out of this world what it is to be a fan of this team right now.
Yeah, I'll say now what Matt Bove said in our immediate post-game podcast reaction. You know, I opened up the show and people can listen to it, and I said, hey, you know, here we are, 35-10, Bills win their fifth straight division. The first thing out of Matt's mouth were, they're just really good. They are, guys. They're just a really good team. And I think the joy of this season, a lot of it has come from the fact that a lot of people didn't expect them to be a really good team. We all know that the AFC East is not that good, right, outside of the Bills. And that's part of the reason why we're sitting here the morning of December 2nd talking about a fifth straight AFC East championship with five games still to play. But the reality is this team is also, it's one of the best teams in the league. You could argue it's the best team in the league. That's yet to be determined. We'll see where that goes. But they are very good. They do everything they're supposed to do on both sides of the ball, and including special teams. Are they perfect? No. And sometimes that shows up, obviously, in moments. They have two losses on the year, but game for game, pound for pound, offense for offense, defense for defense, and special teams for special teams. I think coaching for coaching. I just think that, to speak to your point, Jeremy, you go into every game thinking they can win. It does not matter who they play. They're really good.
And last night, Sal, it's the team that they're playing is another one of these franchises that's, you know, they've had a great track record over the last 4 or 5 years. And were you surprised that it got that out of hand, that game last night? The Bills running the ball, they were able to throw it twice as well, yards per play, yards per pass, than the Niners were, even though they didn't do it a ton. Like, it just felt like taking care of the football was another thing, right? Like, the game got ugly.
Yeah, and I thought it was like right after 14-3, that's when I felt it. In my three keys of the game at WGR550.com, one of the things I wrote, guys, was make them want to go home early. I think that's what happened last night. Mm-hmm. I mean, I just think that, sure, I'm not I'm not like going to sit here and say the 49ers just mailed it in, but I think it just became tough for them, and they knew that they're in for a fight. They're in this snow. They're banged up. They have a long flight back to California. They're still fighting for a division championship. It's a non-conference game. I think at some point your body, your mind get to a point of, okay, get me out of here, and let's move on to next week. When they had their first drive, the 49ers, and they moved the ball and they kicked the field goal, you're like, okay, we've seen this before from the Bills. They've had some slow starts, and they've come back. And sure enough, that's what happened. Once it got to 14-3, I felt very confident that this game was going to go to the Bills game pretty much the rest of the night, outside of if they made a couple mistakes here or there. Now, granted, the 49ers did fight very well and got into the third quarter. They had that nice long drive to start the third quarter. Once they had that fumble, and it like was apparent that they weren't going to score on that drive, I think that just kind of really sealed their fate for the rest of the night. Yeah, this is the defending NFC champions. They beat the defending AFC champions and Super Bowl champions 2 weeks ago, defending NFC champions yesterday. And through this run, one of the more remarkable things is when you look down the Bills' scores this year, they have now scored at least 30 points in six straight games. It's amazing to think about that when they're in this transition year with all these questions at wide receiver. And then not only on top of that, they're missing Keon Coleman and Dalton Kincaid for the last several games. It's just everything is kind of coming together a bit of the opposite as they move on the season, as it has the last few years. And you know, if you can sustain that, they're going to have an excellent shot here to make a deep run into the playoffs.
Sal Capaccio joining us to recap the Bills win over the San Francisco 49ers. We'll get your calls in a moment at 803-0550. Sal, how about, you know, looking at the job that this coaching staff has done to make this version of the Bills? I went into this game, and maybe a lot of did, that thinking this team is more prepared for games like this, conditions like this. The Alec Anderson jumbo package run plays, what the Bills wanted to do in the run game, it's something that, you know, they want as part of their menu. And in a game like this, it served them greatly. And I don't know, I feel like if you're an outsider watching them, you see a team that can win in a lot of different ways, including a game that can be physical, like the one we saw last night.
Yeah, for sure. And the Bills do run six offensive linemen more than any other team in the NFL. And Alec Anderson is kind of like, you know, the guy that's been groomed for that role since David Edwards has moved into a starting role. Now, granted, the snap counts are going to be a little bit skewed because the backups did come in and play, including Alec Anderson. Overall, Alec Anderson gets 32 snaps last night out of 58 on offense. So he played over half the snaps when it was all said and done. And then you look down and say, so did some other guys who, you know, wound up getting some run. Quentin Morris plays 24 snaps last night. Look what Ty Johnson did. Obviously, he plays a lot. He comes in the fourth quarter. Jalen Virgil played 15 snaps. Zach Davidson, 15 snaps. Ryan Vandermark, 15. I'm going to and then Cedric Van Pran Granger, 15. You know why? Because Mitch Trubisky came in with 12 minutes to play in the fourth quarter. So I think, guys, it's not just that, Jeremy. It's not just they can win these games, but, I mean, they're giving these guys reps. When they have to play these guys, like, they're prepared. They're ready. They're ready to step in whatever role it is, whether that's Alec Anderson coming in as a sixth offensive lineman or he has to go in and play a little bit later in the game, whether it's Ryan Vandermark coming in late in this game or he actually winds up starting last week, you know, for Deion Dawkins. But you're right. And they're built. I think that, now, I've always pushed back on the notion that the Bills, you know, weren't built well enough to run the ball in previous years. I think they were. Maybe they didn't have particularly all of those pieces to go deep into the running back room, but I think that's very evident, and that's a big difference this year, which is they can roll out three running backs who can really hurt you in a number of different ways.
Sal, from your vantage point, just how slippery was the field? Because it looked like on TV that every play, at least somebody on one side of the field, one of the 22 people out there was like slipping and falling.
It was slippery. You know, we're on the sidelines there, but even, you know, running back and forth in the sidelines, it's not going to be as, you know, manicured, I guess, or cleared up and whatever for us as it is for the players. But you could tell even where we were, you know, people running back and forth and this that little, that, you know, that little layer of snow that makes you wind up slipping. And Eric Wood made the note on the broadcast early on in the game. There were guys running in motion who were slipping. And at some point, you almost have to kind of reduce your playbook and say, we just can't run that motion. These guys are going to slip. They're not going to get there. I'm going to tell you guys, though, where I think it really was a big, big factor last night in the field conditions. And that was defenders defending the run from the second and third level. Look, of course, you don't want to see 153 yards run against you by the Bills. They, you know, you look today and go, well, here it is, a really bad run defense. The Bills also ran for 220. I'm here to tell you a big reason. I talk with guys in the locker room. Taron Johnson said, absolutely, that was a big deal, which is second and third level, especially defenders, guys, they could not get to their run fits. They could not, like, plant and go to where they're supposed to be. So by the time Christian McCaffrey or James Cook or Ray Davis is getting to the hole, the guy who's normally supposed to be filling in as a safety, he is not getting there on time because he can't get his footing. That's a huge reason why we had such big run numbers last night.
Yeah. Did the Bills make an adjustment, as you could see, or was it just that they got the Niners out of their ability to run the ball because the game became a little bit out of hand? Like, to me, Sal, it was a little bit of, well, I'll get your thought on that, but also they got a couple negative plays. That's really what it came down to. If you can get one negative play, stop one run, Mason for a loss of four, all of a sudden second and 14, and it's a different kind of scenario.
Well, let's be honest. I think one of the things that happened was losing Christian McCaffrey, right? And unfortunately for Christian McCaffrey, who looks like he's going to be out for the season from all the various reports with a PCL injury, we saw him. I was standing in the tunnel waiting to go into the Bills locker room. He walked by us very slowly on crutches with a big knee brace on. It was really tough to see. We know how hard he's worked back, you know, to get back to this point. Losing him really hurt them, guys. It really, you know, limits. Now, granted, Jordan Mason is a really nice running back. He's done a good job. He's not Christian McCaffrey. The threat of McCaffrey out of the backfield, you have to play a little bit softer, I think, sometimes when he's on the field, knowing, okay, if I come up too aggressive, he's going to run by me because he's such a good athlete. So I don't know specifically. I have to look at the tape if they actually moved in and creeped in. I would not be surprised if the Bills creeped in just a little bit, knowing McCaffrey's not out there and, hey, the footing issues as well. But you're right. You get that one big negative play. Now you can kind of tee off a little bit and know that they're in a really long down and distance situation.
Matt Milano's return, he played an awful lot and was also wearing an arm brace of sorts.
Wearing a very big arm brace. He's been wearing that in practice as well. Been covering, you know, his elbow, bicep area. Looks like maybe something, you know, over the shoulder to hold it in. Couldn't really tell at practice, at least. That's the case. So the snap counts just came out, guys. I posted them. This is incredible. And I knew this. I said this last night. It seemed to me like Matt Milano played all but, like, I only saw him come off the field on dime. Well, guess what? That's exactly the case. I'm going to give you this number. This is crazy. Matt Milano's return. The Bills had 48 snaps on defense. Matt Milano played 37. He only did not play 11. Cam Lewis played 11 snaps. So it literally was on dime. Cam Lewis goes in, Matt Milano comes out. Otherwise, he played every single snap on defense. And even more so, Dorian Williams did not play at all on defense. He did not play a single snap on defense, Dorian Williams. He played more on special teams than he normally does. If anybody had any question about how the Buffalo Bills feel about Matt Milano and integrating him back into this defense, they were answered very resoundingly last night. He is the starting Will linebacker, and he is not coming off the field.
While we're on injuries a bit here, because Milano...
By the way, when I say that, of course, dime defense, he came off the field, like I said. Right. But you know what I mean, guys. You get the point. He's their starting Will linebacker. This is not a sprinkle him in pitch count situation, is the point I'm making from a normal, you know, Will linebacker standpoint.
Yeah. While we're on injury stuff, Allen, it looked like, I was wondering, like, did he just break his finger the way he reacted in the first half? And he said, Sal, something about, like, I've had this. You hit your funny bone hard enough, and it feels like your arm is on fire.
Yeah, people were wondering, because I'm sure you were seeing on TV, he was shaking his hand, right? Like, oh my gosh. And remember the injury he had against Arizona that lasted, you know, several weeks. He's wearing the glove and you're thinking, okay, did he do something again to the hand? It was not the hand. It was the funny bone. As a third down run or sneaker, whichever run that he had, he got hit on that. And when you guys know, when you get hit in your funny bone right there in your elbow, so it's the elbow area, it shoots that pain through your fingers. That's why I say it's not so funny to hit the funny bone. And so all good on that front, all good on the injury front, guys, if you want to do that, because, you know, for another game here, we can kind of knock on some wood and say, I did not have one injury report on the sidelines for the Bills. I had several on the 49ers, obviously. Christian McCaffrey, one of them, Fred Warner, he went back in, but I didn't have one official injury report on the Bills sideline. We had that situation with Josh, another situation where Terrell Bernard was talking to trainers. They looked like they were kind of working out his foot area. Might have just even been like, just, hey, retape it or something like that. But he never missed a snap. And then Jamarcus Ingram got banged up on a special teams play, and then he went back into the game. So, again, another game here where the Bills came out very healthy.
Sal Capaccio on the Western Hotline. Let's get a call in for Sal. Jim in New York City. Hey, Jim, good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys doing? Happy Victory Monday.
Good. Thanks, Jim.
Hey, I just wanted to say I watched Josh's press conference, and he was saying the reason he drifted over to be in place for that lateral was he knew the ball was kind of bobbling and wanted to make sure that in case it got picked, that he would be there to be able to do something, you know, prevent a pick six or something. And so that was why he was there. But Amari Cooper said that he looked at Josh and said, he looked like he wanted the ball, so I gave it to him, which is just incredible.
I mean, listen, this is obviously a backyard play that you're not drawn up, and then, you know, you just have two guys who make that eye contact, and bam, I'm going to give it to him. That's it. My guy's coming here. Look, if I'm a 49ers fan today, I'm thinking, that's ridiculous. They didn't blow the whistle. The forward progress was stopped, right? I mean, you could obviously see that. But they didn't stop it. They didn't blow the whistle. So you keep playing to the whistle. And then once that ball comes out, it's live. And Josh Allen's right there, Johnny on the spot. We've talked about this before as far as what it takes to win an MVP. And, you know, you have to have the numbers. I think you have to win, especially from a quarterback standpoint. But you need signature moments as well. Now we have two national television games out of 3 weeks, two games in a row. Josh Allen has his signature moment against Kansas City where Jim Nance called it the play of the year in the NFL. And then you have last night on Sunday Night Football, what he did. Guys, I think that's the kind of play that really does vault him into, okay, like, this guy's going to win the MVP. At this point, I think he deserves it. You look at the numbers and the day that Saquon or Lamar and some of the contenders had, I think Josh Allen is the guy that needs to be talked about as leading the, you know, odds or whatever, the MVP. You can have that there. And I think he deserves it. And that's a signature moment for Josh Allen. The only question we had was statistically. So here's the deal. So Josh Allen gets credit for a receiving touchdown, but he does not get credit for a reception. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like, it's weird. He has no targets, no receptions, but he has 7 yards receiving for a touchdown. So he officially has a rushing touchdown, two passing touchdowns, and a receiving touchdown, although he didn't actually catch a pass, so he doesn't get credited for throwing it to himself, essentially.
If he doesn't win AFC Offensive Player of the Week, we have an investigation on our hands, you know? You do all that.
I saw he now for his career has 3 receiving touchdowns and 2 catches.
That's funny. He has...
That's really funny. I didn't think about that.
There was
that's
a lot right. of fun with this. Like, he has as many receiving touchdowns as Justin Jefferson in the last 6 weeks. He is 1 receiving touchdown behind Travis Kelce on the season right now. So, a lot of fun with the numbers on this one, Sal, with this.
He's the first quarterback ever to have that trifecta in one game, passing, rushing, receiving. There were 3 players, though. Someone sent this to me, unofficial. A friend of mine sent this to me. 3 players have ever done it in one game. David Patton, of all people, 2001 with the New England Patriots. LaDainian Tomlinson did it, and then all the way back to Walter Payton, actually, have a receiving, passing, and rushing touchdown in the same game.
Does that mean we can't call it the Josh Allen hat trick? Because it's already been done?
I think you can, because he's the only quarterback.
All right, I think we should call it that. I think it should be the Josh Allen hat trick. I don't know if you're going to get it.
We already have a Josh Allen hat trick.
What's that?
It's a rushing touchdown, a passing touchdown, and an interception.
Yeah, but this is...
He doesn't have them anymore because he doesn't throw interceptions. But that's long been the Josh Allen hat trick, and I like that one, you know.
All right.
That'll happen occasionally. Thanks, Jim, for the phone call as we, you know, roll through. So, all right, Sal, they're going to host a playoff game, and now the chase for the one seed is on. Would you two like to just let out the biggest sigh of all time? Is the Chief, we finally emote about what happened on Black Friday as the Chiefs escaped again? The most annoying franchise.
It's just hilarious.
It's the most annoying franchise of all time with the stuff that they get away with. I'm sorry, the Raiders snapped the ball off their quarterback's face in field goal range ish. Really?
That's... As an official is running in making the motion to stop the clock, by the way.
Right.
I mean, and I'm not one to think. I'm not here going, the game is fixed or rigged. I just think they adjudicated that wrong. Because he might have been wrong. Yes, everybody's pointing out, all the Chiefs fans. By the way, oh my God, I posted that video. The Chiefs fans in my mentions. It's just so tiring. Just stop it. All I'm trying to do is point out the video of what he's doing. I don't think the game was fixed or nothing like that. And I agree, like, a false start does not stop the play in that situation. But what stops the play is an official saying stop the play.
Yep.
That's what happened. The official is saying stop the play. Let me bring this back to the Bills, though, guys, real quick, about the one seed. I don't know if you guys caught this, but last night, or if you guys talked about this at all, I think it was really interesting and refreshing. Like, Josh Allen has been pretty by the book. He always is. It's one game. We're going 1-0. But he said last night, our goal is the one seed. We're playing for the one seed.
Mm-hmm.
He said, you know, you now that they have their division title and we know they're going to play a home playoff game, they're in the playoffs. He said, we can play free, and that's a dangerous team. You know, you're not fighting for your season on the line, you know, win or lose. He said, but we also want the one seed. And Sean McDermott was asked about that, and he said, well, that's the next goal. That's the next goal. So I think it's really interesting that they're thinking about it, and they want it. I'll also say, next week in L.A., it's a 4:25 p.m. start. The Bills will be back on the airplane while the Chargers are playing the Chiefs. I don't even know if we'll all be able to watch that game, to be quite honest with you, or see it, at least follow it along on the internet. And the plane will have some Wi-Fi. But the Bills themselves, I won't even really be able to know what's going on in that game necessarily.
Hmm. Well, let me tell you, having not seen that game yet, the Chiefs will win it late on a very annoying call that we all hate. That's how that game's getting. They all go that way. Well, Chiefs and Chargers. I mean, that could be a fun one on Sunday night next week. All right, Sal, thank you. We'll be listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show coming up 10 o'clock today. And, I mean, whatever. We're just kind of like basking in how magical it was again last night. Another, you know, whatever.
It was cold. It was snowy, but it was joyful. It really was. It was a winter wonderland. You guys have seen the shots. It's really cool to be in that stadium, you know, when it's like that. And last night was one of those special nights. You're right about that.
Very good. Thanks, Sal.
You got it.
Sal Capaccio on this Buffalo Bills Football Monday, brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. Sal saying people came after him for, you know, a tweet about or a take about the false start / illegal shift called in that game.
Mm-hmm.
People came for me about my Trevor Lawrence concussion take, which I would love to just have a conversation about that play where he got concussed and the Texans player sparked a full-on brawl.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Ugly, ugly, ugly play.
Total melee.
Yeah.
We had every player on both sides felt like they were involved.
There was a melee in Ohio State, Michigan.
Every college football game this week that was the same thing.
Yep. Except Syracuse, who just beat Miami and they didn't fight about it. They just beat them. It was pretty good. Pretty good, Joe.
You can't go plant the flag at the away team stadium when you don't beat the away
team. That's true.
They were down 21-0, too. Yeah. Syracuse was.
I mean, Kyle McCord had a great comment about coming full circle here as he, who of course was like shipped off by Ohio State, wins for Syracuse while Ohio State loses a fourth straight to Michigan. Good thing they blamed Kyle McCord. Yeah, it's all good. 803-0550. Come, join us. Rejoice with us. It's really what we're doing. Just, holy cow, how about this team? How about the fun we get to have with this team? Tonight, Broncos and Browns on Monday Night Football. It is Buffalo Bills Football Monday. 803-0550 to join us. 1-888-550 on WGR.
Handoff goes to Davis. Going to bounce it outside. Race to the pylon. And he dives into the end zone for a 5-yard touchdown run. Ray Davis with clear sailing to the end zone as Buffalo is on the board with the lead. Takes the snap, quick hitter, thrown behind, but somehow caught, and now lateral to Allen, and reaching for the pylon. Are you kidding me? It's a touchdown. Unbelievable. A catch by Amari Cooper, a lateral to Josh Allen, and he runs the remaining 5 yards for the score. Have you ever seen that one before?
Highlights of the game, Chris Brown on the call. Have not seen that one before. Highlights of the game brought to you by Northland Workforce Training Center. Train for what's next. Last segment, we ran through it with Sal, the Barnes Firm Injury Report. Nobody really on it. The Barnes Firm Injury Report brought to you by the Barnes Firm. Injured, call 1-800-8-MILLION. No official injury designations. No one went to the blue tent. Matt Milano came off of IR, got activated, played, got introduced to a huge, huge cheer and ovation. And the Bills rolled the 49ers. We're taking your calls on it. If you'd like to join us, 803-0550.
I can echo what Alan said about his arm feeling like it was on fire after hitting his funny bone that hard. I have fallen pickup hockey, fell on my elbow on ice, and I thought my arm was on fire.
The nerve, right?
It hits some nerve, and then it just shoots up your arm. It is the weirdest pain you've ever felt in your life.
Hmm.
So
he called it funny bone.
Yeah, right. But it goes away. Which is good because I thought he broke his hand when he came up. Like he had just He had done that earlier in the year, right? Like on a run, like fell on his hand, elbow had hit it, and he got up from that play and is shaking it, and it looked like he was grabbing his fingers. I'm like, oh, here we go. It was his left hand again. But if it's that funny bone thing, then he should be fine. Like there's no residual after.
I am guilty of having, you know, watched him pop up in pain as soon as I did the thing where I'm looking at him like right hand, left hand, left, he's fine. Like, I know that's probably not as easy as that. And we saw earlier in the season when he couldn't hand off with one hand, but as soon as I saw left,
well,
I was significantly less stressed about it.
The only reason I would have been stressed is if his left hand ever gets hurt, they're probably not running with him.
That's right. Ball security there. Yeah. Everything. I mean, when he
and it's a huge part. Like it's. I mean, there. How many plays yesterday? Maybe not a ton. How many did he run for? Three. He got the one touchdown run where he gets away from Fred Warner. But you want him fully healthy so that they feel like they could go all out with him running the ball once you get to these big important games. -250 to win MVP. By the way, this morning
I'd say it's his. He's going to win the MVP.
It would take something unforeseen. I don't think their schedule's tough enough for him to lose it.
Yeah, I just think he's going to win the MVP.
They'd have to collapse, and I don't think does anybody feel like that's even reasonably possible right now? Some collapse like they had in the middle of last year. Like I don't see it.
The only thing that could maybe derail it, I guess there's a couple things, of course, but one is the Chiefs do win out, win the one seed, and they get healthier with Pacheco and
I'm Hollywood, sure that matters,
and though. Hollywood Brown. What if they start putting up points and all of a sudden Mahomes finds his way to 32 touchdowns because he turns it on late, which he's had a couple of nice games, but still, I just think it's. I think it's Allen's year. 803-0550 and 1-888-550-2550. Give us a call. What you think about this, whatever, this game, this team. We've been basking in the glow, just feeling privileged to be alive during this era of Bills football as they continue their chase for the one seed. I had somebody point this out, and I have, you know, whether it's the 4 o'clock starts or the 8 o'clock island games, I've had the same experience in the last couple of weeks of watching the Red Zone channel. And seeing a lot of other teams and a lot of other games at once and thinking, man, there are just not many teams that can compete with the Bills. There's just so much better. Even watching a game between two, finger quotes, good teams. You know, you'll find your way to seeing the Texans and be like, this team's not any good.
The Texans look like I watch them and think they stink every time I've seen them lately.
Right. I mean, just watching Steelers-Bengals. Like, Pittsburgh looked pretty good. But then again, Cincinnati, their defense this year has just been such a mess.
Mm-hmm.
They've lost a bunch of games having scored 30. They just lose all the time and score 30 points.
Vikings-Cardinals a little bit yesterday to me was like, are either of these teams good? They have good records, right? The Vikings are 10-2. Same record as the Bills.
10-2. That's ridiculous.
I watch them and I'm like, I don't know. Like, they're kind of on a they're living on a thread here every week. It's the Bills win so decisively, I think. Right? Like where are they in point differential now? Like
second. They're still second.
They're still second to Detroit.
Yeah. The Lions, even though they had to squeak out their win. You know, Matt Eberflus got fired. They'd squeak out their win on Thanksgiving.
But everybody would put them in the category of a team you would think could hang with the Bills.
Yes, and that game in 2 weeks is huge. I mean, first they're gonna play the Rams, who they should beat the Rams. What's the spread? I haven't checked. What's the spread on Bills?
Bills-Rams? Shouldn't it be like 9? It's on the road, though, right?
I would think like the Bills might be 6.5-point favorites, 5.5-point favorites.
The Rams are another one of these teams where I'm like, oh, they're probably pretty good, right? And then you watch them, and it's like, they get smoked in the trenches, I think, is the thing about, well, in the front end. I guess their defensive line is good. Bills and Rams this coming Sunday. The Bills are favored by 4.5.
Okay, that seems about right. I like the Bills. Should win it. I mean, Stafford's good. Puka's good. Cup's good.
They have a couple of really good.
They like to run
players.
The ball. Whatever. We'll get to that later. Today's a day to just kind of look back on what was. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550.
You know who's second in the AFC, by the way, in a point differential? Well, actually, it's a tie. Sorry.
Second in the AFC in point differential is the Chargers.
Yep. Chargers and Steelers. Who are kind of right now, I know Pittsburgh did not play this game yesterday, but in general, those are more, let's keep the score low, let's run the ball. Like, these are 20-17, 20-13 type teams, I feel like, right now.
Especially the Chargers.
Yeah. Like, that's where I have confidence in the Bills. Like, I don't know that the Chargers or the Steelers, I know the Steelers played this game yesterday, but if the Bills just are popping off on offense and it becomes like a shootout type game, I don't think the Steelers and Chargers are hanging with the Bills. I think that's got to be for those teams to win a game like that, they got to keep it low scoring. They got to keep Allen in check. And I don't know how likely that is to happen right now.
Yeah. This team winning games without Coleman, without Kincaid, you know, it's a testament to the job that Joe Brady has done. This offense stays on schedule. You know, they have their slow starts here and there, but to routinely just get to 30 points, sometimes they sleepwalk their way to 30 points. The quarterback is a freak show, you know? He does it all. 803-0550. Have seen now, there's a character by the name of Roy Zimmerman.
Mm-hmm.
So Josh Allen, you think it's pretty impressive to throw a touchdown and catch it yourself?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you got to be like Roy Zimmerman of the Eagles back in the 50s. He threw a pass, caught it, and kicked the extra point.
And kicked the extra point. I mean, they should have let Josh kick the extra point, right?
Now, in Josh's defense, that extra point was from the 10. That's the old extra point, Joe.
Uh-huh.
I bet Josh could kick the old extra point. Right?
Let him kick a field goal just to, like, oh, he does it all. He does everything.
What percentage of NFL players could kick an extra point through?
Wouldn't they all have 40%? Wait. Extra point's pretty
all
far
players.
Back now.
No. The old extra point from, like, the 20.
The old extra point, 40%.
Yeah. 40%?
I think Ndamukong Suh did that once.
Yeah?
I think he kicked an extra point. Chad Johnson definitely did that a few times.
Ocho Cinco?
Maybe 40%'s a little much.
They've all tried it.
They've all tried it, you think?
I think they've all tried it.
I think Josh could do it. Yeah, a good percentage would be able to get a 19-yard field goal. We could kick 19-yard field goals.
Yeah.
Right?
You got to get it over the line.
You got to get it over the line.
Yes.
And have it not be blocked. So it's got to be high enough.
803-0550. We'll get a break in. Just watching back some of the All-22. I'm going to spend some time romanticizing
you know
this.
The video that I want right now is I want, just yesterday, I want the sideline reaction to the Cooper lateral to Allen. Just like, I want to watch that clip and just see everybody's reaction. Watch Khalil Shakir on that play. Shakir kind of goes like, oh, play's over. And then Allen gets the ball and runs in the end zone. And he's got like his head on his hands and his knees go weak. He's like, what did I just watch? What did my quarterback just do?
Mahomes tweeted about it.
Did he?
Yes. He tweeted, that was lit. And then a few people I thought
very creative,
hilariously pointed out, he's so mad about that. He's so mad. The Chiefs are so mad. The Bills got it.
Listen, they've got their own Hallmark movie. Like, they don't need... What else do they need
now? They're so mad. That one, guess what?
Kelsey's the one who's
Kelsey
mad.
Doesn't get the lateral on his future Hall of Fame video. Josh Allen gets the lateral on his. 803-0550. It's Victory Monday, brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. More of your calls. Chris Brown at 830. It's a Victory Monday.
Here's the handoff to Cook. Through a hole and away and into the secondary. 40, 30, 20. They're not going to get him. James Cook goes 65 yards for a touchdown. Unbelievable.
That was probably the funnest game in my life right there. You know, obviously, big time Sunday night football game, snow game. Man, it was unbelievable. Obviously, clinched the division too, so great night.
Taylor Rapp, who punched the ball out. Bills are doing that a lot this year. Punching balls loose, covering fumbles.
This time at the one.
Yeah, nice. Christian Benford with the recovery. And the Bills are off and running. Jeremy and Joe, happy Buffalo Bills Victory Monday. Around the league stuff. Anything else? What else you see yesterday?
The Jets losing again. Lots of fun.
Yep.
Geno Smith and his return there. Philadelphia is great. They'll say that. Yeah. I think they're great.
Did they win because Justin Tucker missed three kicks?
It didn't hurt.
Only scoring 14 against Baltimore is not that good. Baltimore's defense can get got. And 14's not a big number for them. They did not have a great offensive day.
No, they did. I think the biggest difference, and we've mentioned this from last year, is their defense is legit.
Yeah.
I think their defense is Philly's defense is legit. And their offense has enough pieces to be great.
The Ravens outgained the Eagles yesterday 372 to 252.
Whew. I mean, Hurts only attempted 19 passes in the entire game. The Panthers might have a quarterback.
Yeah,
for next year at least.
Bryce Young's been better.
They got robbed of a touchdown that I have no idea why it didn't count to Adam Thielen in the middle of that game, so they should have won. And the other thing is that you had a take about the Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, I'll just break it down for you real quick. Sliding in front of defenders is dangerous, and quarterbacks shouldn't slide. Think about it for 10 seconds. Don't get mad about it. Think about it for 10 seconds. You're running full speed at a defender. The defender, up until the moment you commit to the slide, is committed to probably try to hit you the only place he can hit you. Where's that, Joe? The chest.
Mm-hmm.
If defender hits a quarterback in the head, foul. You hit a quarterback in the legs, foul. What am I going to do? The most form basic tackle I can do, hit this guy in the chest. Okay, what does a quarterback do in that split second? Let me drop my head into the strike zone. That's what a slide does.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm just trusting the defender to not hit me, Trevor Lawrence drops into the strike zone and gets blasted off the turf. He gets concussed because his head hits the ground. When you as a quarterback slide like that, you put yourself in a vulnerable position. And the league has a problem where how many times do you see a guy hit on a slide? All the time. There are personal fouls called on slides all the time as these defenders say, I can't slow down, I can't do this. So stop trusting defenders and dive. Head first. They're not going to hit your head like that. You're not going to bounce your head off the turf like that. The safer play is to dive. And eventually they'll figure that out. I mean, Lamar's done that. You'll see other quarterbacks do that from time to time. The safer play is to dive.
So what you're saying is it's smart to just jump over a guy actually instead of
it diving. Might be.
It's safer. It's safer for Josh Allen to try to fly over the defender.
It's definitely safer than I'm going to drop my head into the strike zone to be bounced off the turf.
I think that dude deserved to be ejected.
Oh, I'm not blaming Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah.
It's just I think there's a smarter way to do it and the way the league has it. I mean, you've got defenders that have to worry about fake slides because of these quarterbacks and their mobility.
Yeah.
So if I was a quarterback's coach or a head coach, I would be thinking, let's figure out how to get you on the ground without getting your head bounced off the turf. Because dropping in front of a defender is a bad idea. Chris Brown coming up 8:30, 803-0550, our phone number, 1-888-552-550. Wide open phone lines to remember one of the best games in, well, you know, like a couple years, maybe a couple weeks. We have so many of these games these days. Iconic, memorable, awesome, fun days at the stadium. 803-0550 to join us on WGR.